I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten, and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
It's about deciding, what do I actually want? What lights me up? What motivates me? Rather than looking outside and saying, what is it I should want?
You're listening to Make Some Noise Podcast, episode number 594, with guest Vanessa Cornell. Welcome to Make Some Noise Podcast, your guide for strategies, tools, and insight to empower yourself. I'm your host, Andrea Owen, global speaker, entrepreneur, life coach since 2007, and author of 3 books that have been translated into 18 languages and are available in 22 countries. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a lesson that will help you maximize unshakable confidence, master resilience, and make some noise in your life. You ready? Let's go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so glad that you're here. Happy April. I kind of realized that probably one of the reasons that I love spring so much, well, mostly it's because it really just reminds me of new beginnings. I mean, what better reminder of a new beginning is there than spring, when things literally start coming back to life? And it's my birthday. My birthday is April 15th, so that's probably another reason that I love spring. But I hope you're having a wonderful spring. I hope things are going so well for you. We have another great interview for you today. But before we do, I have 2 kind of exciting things coming up. You guys have heard me talk about how interested and mildly obsessed I am, like, let's be honest, around psychedelic therapy. And I've partnered with Mind Bloom. It was sort of a serendipitous thing that happened. But aside from that, I would love to take you with me through the whole experience around psychedelic therapy. And I know it's sort of a niche thing. It's very specific, and it might not be for everyone. And especially as a person in long-term recovery, I wanted to be very careful and conscious and intentional about this journey. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a private podcast feed. It's still free, and it's not going to be in my regular podcast feed. So it is something that you're going to have to sign up for updates in order to get those specific podcast episodes. I'll keep reminding you over here too. But if you head on over to AndreaOwen.com/journey, I'll probably make some videos, maybe do a few blog posts here and there. I'm not really sure, but I can guarantee that I'm going to do podcast episodes. They'll likely be ad-free because they're just kind of like over there. I have no idea how long they're going to be. It's really just going to be me walking you through the journey of exactly what it's like. And if you guys have specific questions, you can either email me, support@AndreaOwen.com, or DM me on Instagram. I'm at Hey Andrea Owen over there. And I am happy to answer your questions on that particular podcast feed. Again, AndreaOwen.com/journey to sign up for that special psychedelic therapy journey that I'm going on. I'm going to start out with ketamine, and I have a couple of interviews coming up too on this feed. Somebody that works at Mind Bloom is a clinician, kind of answers all the FAQs. And then also I have a friend who's a return guest who has gone through it. And I also had so many questions for him. Like, what is it like? What do you see when you're quote unquote under the influence? How is your life different now? What has changed? I got super interested in it for a myriad of reasons, which I've talked about here on the show when I've had various guests on who know more about it than I do. but I'm really looking for just restructuring the neural pathways. I've done a lot myself in my brain, but I do think that psychedelic therapy is the next step for me and for many people. And I'm excited to see how it goes. As I'm recording this, I haven't done my first, I haven't taken the medicine yet, but I'm going to coming up very, very soon. So there's that. And there's also a journaling coaching program that I am going to open up registration for very, very soon. When this podcast comes out, it might already be open yet. I'm getting the dates mixed up in my head. But if you head on over to AndreaOwen.com/program, that's where it will be. It's called Write Your Way Through It. I'm super excited for it. It's a journaling program. It's a writing program. I'm not going to be teaching you like how to write a book or a book proposal or anything like that. It is honest to goodness, self-awareness, personal growth, space for you to be creative, space for you to share what's coming up for you. All the information's over there, AndreaOwen.com/program. I would love to see you over there. I'm excited about this. It's my first group coaching in many years. All right, enough about that. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Vanessa Cornell is the owner of Cornell Vineyards and is the founder of New Shoe, a women's community grounded in wellness and empowerment. Vanessa has found her passion giving women the tools and confidence to step into their power and lead lives of joy and purpose. Through this work, Vanessa has become a curious observer of the human condition and a leading voice in the parenting empowerment, helping women to overcome the constant guilt, shame, and pressures that plague modern womanhood in order to live a fully actualized life. So without further ado, here is Vanessa. Vanessa, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Andrea. It's a pleasure.
I am excited for this conversation. You talk about a lot of different things that I know that my audience will resonate with. And I wanted, like, one of the biggest questions I get, and over, I mean, it has not slowed down with the amount I get this question, is around sort of like life balance and like work-life balance, being a mom and wearing many roles in your life. And some of my audience are entrepreneurs. How do you, and I'm using like air quotes, like how do you do it all? How do you have it all? And also not lose your relationship with yourself? Because I think that that's the thing that many women sort of lose, or they never really find it, their identity in the first place.
Really boils down to what do we mean by it all? For a long time, we're told there are certain things you cannot have. You cannot be the CEO of a company. You cannot have the things the men have. And so we fought for years to say, why are we excluded from having all of these things? And that was a good thing. Definitely. That was a good thing. But then what happened is we were fed this lie that we had to do it like them. Mm-hmm. Remember those 80s power suits with the big shoulders where women who were in corporate were like, I guess to be successful, I not only have to act like them, I also have to dress like them. Yeah. I have to look like them. I have to embody what we are believing is success. Now, this is specifically in the workplace, right? I have to embody that by looking like them and acting like them and doing it in that way. And so for a long time, we were excluded from certain things, and then we were invited, kind of, right? We fought for the right to say, no, I get to have this too. And then all of a sudden, we were put in this position where we were like, and also, you still have to do and are expected to do all of the other things also. You are expected, if you become a mother, to be primary caregiver. You are expected to be nurturer of all the people around you. Mm-hmm. And you also now have to put on a mask and fulfill this role and be someone who you are not in the workplace. And that maybe is what people kind of defined as having it all. Yeah. And so to me, the question is not what can you have, but what do you want? What do you actually want in your life? And maybe what you want is to have a career and for your spouse to be primary caregiver so you can pursue a career. In my opinion, the number one biggest obstacle to women getting achievement in the corporate world, if that's what they want, is the stigma associated with not being the primary caregiver and the man or the spouse being the primary caregiver. Mm-hmm. And so the question is not, how can we have it all? The question is, how have we forgotten to actually tap into, relate to, and know ourselves enough to say, this is what I want. I could be successful in this way, but I don't want it. Yeah. Or I want to be successful in this way and I need the support to do so. And so not every person wants everything and not every person can and should do everything. Mm-hmm. But it's about deciding, what do I actually want? What lights me up? What motivates me, rather than looking outside and saying, what is it I should want?
Right. What does the culture say that I should have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does everybody else think I should want? And therefore I get external feedback and praise for, right? Like, this is how we've been trained. Like, I really figured out how to do it as a kid, right? Like, so many really intuitive women were like, I get it. Like, I understand the assignment. I'm going to really work hard. I'm going to get good grades. I'm going to be like pretty, and I'm going to get along with people, and I'm not going to upset anybody, and I'm going to make everyone else around me happy. And we end up as these good girl perfectionists, right, trying to pursue. And then we're so burned out. And we're like, I don't get why I'm burned out, because we're pursuing everybody else's goals doggedly. And we've forgotten in that training what it means to say, but do I even want this? Do mm-hmm. I even like this?
Yeah.
Is this even for me?
I love that perspective, and I agree with that. And it reminds me of many, many years ago, I read a book by Courtney Martin called Perfect Girl, Starving Daughters, which I've recommended many times on this show. Gosh, this was probably my kids were babies when I read this. And she talks about, she's the one, if anyone is familiar with like one of the very first like feminist theory blogs called Feministing. She was one of the founders of that. And she talks about the unintended side effect of the feminist movement from when like we were kids and hearing that we can have it all. And what we grew up really sort of absorbing, and the messaging that we got from that was that we have to do it all. And not only do we have to do it all, we still had the societal pressure of looking really great while doing it and taking care of everyone else before us. And you know, you end up with a generation of women who were struggling with eating disorders and addiction and depression and anxiety and insomnia and like all these like really, really challenging symptoms. And this pressure is just unwavering. And so, which brings me to my next question is, and this is what I hear a lot from my listeners and my clients too. And I even just stopped asking the question from the beginning, like, what is it that you want? Because I'm usually met with like bewilderment. So I a lot of times ask them, like, let's start with what you don't want. Like, what do you want to start saying no to? What do you want to stop doing? What do you want off your plate? And we start there. So is there like a place that you start with women in your community in terms of yeah. like what you were talking about, like figuring out what it is that they are wanting, and also kind of like their, I just keep hearing the word like identity in there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can really relate. First of all, if you're listening and you can relate to this, like, I don't even know what I want. Like, yeah, I was in that place where I was like, I don't know what I feel or what I want, because I was so convinced. This was actually when I was a mother of very young children, but this I think applies to all women who were taught like, you know, keep up, look good, do it all. Mm-hmm. I was so convinced that my needs weren't going to get met that it was much easier to not have any.
Yeah.
So even when things came up, I was like, I got really good at ignoring those signals, right? Like, I even got good at ignoring pain in my body. And sometimes mm-hmm. the most capable women, the women who are like crushing it, are doing it. Because whenever something comes up that doesn't feel right, they've gotten super good at ignoring it.
Yeah.
So the way I work with people is I'm like, you've got to reacquaint yourself with how you feel, what you need, and what you want. And those literally are my three questions. How do I feel? What do I need? And what do I want? And they seem so simple, but just the asking of them is profound. Mm-hmm. Because when you ask yourself those questions, it implies how I feel matters. Mm-hmm. What I need matters, and what I want matters. And so for a lot of women, it's tricky in the beginning. They're like, I don't know how I feel. I've been so used to ignoring right. how I feel in order to like get it done and take care of other people for so long. Like, I don't really know. I'm like, that's okay. That's okay. Like, ask the question, see whatever comes up. Please, please, please don't judge yourself for whatever comes up. You know, like, well, this is not an exercise. This is not a test where you can get an A.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Good point.
It is not a test where you can get an A when you answer those three questions. No one is grading your paper, but it is just a practice and an exercise in saying, like, I have been trained out of recognizing my needs, my feelings, and my wants, but I can retrain myself back into it. That is available to me. And when you retrain yourself back into it and start to know who you are through those signals and through reflection, I think there's a totally different framework that you can set up than what most people have been taught, which is there is a path for me in my life that is unique to me, that is for me, that is based on what I love, what lights me up, what my gifts are, and where I am. Like, what is the destination? It starts with where am I and what's the first step I want to take? And so it changes this calculus of there is a formula for success. There are ladders to climb, whatever those may be in your world, that other people have told me are the way to get to success. And we change that framework to, like, there is only one for you and you're the only one who can know it. Yeah. But in order to do that, you got to take the time to get to know yourself and to value what's right for you. Mm-hmm. It's simple, but definitely not easy.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And I'm going to share just sort of like anecdotally a couple of things that I think might be helpful for the audience listening while we're on this topic. I think it's such an important one. One of the questions that I ask most of my clients, and sometimes even podcast guests, I ask them, like, how are you feeling in this moment right now? Because so often just, you know, just sort of like regular pleasantries, we say, like, how are you? And it's a very broad, you know, and usually just social norms as we say, I'm good, you know, like I'm doing really well. And, you know, I do that too. But when you ask someone, especially if it's in like a one-on-one scenario, and you know, especially like coach client scenario, like, I am asking them how they are in this moment. And I'm also giving them the space to be honest with me and tell me, and more importantly, for them to take a moment to really stop and feel into their body and their mind and think, like, how are they? And sometimes, especially if it's a first session that we're meeting, like they're feeling a little nervous and anxious and apprehensive. And I find that my point is that when we have the moments to really tap into that, that's practice to be able to tap into that on a more regular basis, to be able to do exactly what you were saying of just noticing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have so few opportunities for practice, and we might not realize how much we're self-editing all the time.
Yeah.
How little permission we feel to actually be honest, to actually tell the truth. Because as you said, it's this kind of a social contract thing, right? Like somebody asks you, how are you? They're not actually asking you, how are you? They don't actually want to know. It's just an exchange of pleasantries. Right. It's convention. And so to have somebody say, how are you? And for you to actually internalize and believe they actually want to know how I am, however that happens to come out, even if it's not the shiny, pretty version, even if it has a little bit of an edge to it, even if it's a little grisly in the moment, like, I actually want to hear, that is such a gift.
Yeah.
It's such a gift. And I run groups and I do group facilitator training because in that setting, we have explicit permission to do that.
Yeah.
And when you have a friend and you're trying to get to know somebody, you have to kind of feel your way into a place where you say, okay, this person actually wants to know. And you kind of get to a place of trust, hopefully, with somebody. But that's a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to practice in a risky spot. How's this person going to react? Mm-hmm. And so I find that when you have a setting like coaching or therapy or group where you can practice that and you realize, interesting, when I share the truth, even if it's not so pretty, I actually create intimacy with the other person. I actually feel closer and more connected to the other person. Then I think we go out into the world and we say, yes, it's a risk. Yes, we need discernment. But on balance, I'm over-editing myself. I'm over-editing myself and therefore creating kind of a bubble of loneliness where I feel like I can't show myself to people. And we know loneliness is a huge problem. And it's not a problem because people aren't able to connect, right? People are technically able to connect. People are around other people in the workplace, some people less than others. It might be more challenging for some. But what I really think the crisis of loneliness has to do with is we're out of practice showing our true selves to other people because it is scary.
Yeah.
It is a hard thing to practice. But to me, it is the number one practice that creates what we crave most as humans, which is true connection to other people.
Oh, yeah. You're speaking my language. Okay. We need to take a quick ad break. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about that and specifically go deeper into self-care. So we'll be right back. Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/noise, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/noise to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/noise. Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal, and that they won't already have can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. Can you talk specifically about what self-care looks like for women, mothers and people who are not mothers? I just feel like still in 2024, when we're having this conversation, we still look at self-care as, making sure that you do things like get your nails done and go to therapy maybe and sort of like the surface level stuff. So do you have a little bit, can you go a little bit deeper about what self-care looks like in your community?
Yeah. So I think that what we're doing is we're pursuing all of the external goals that don't feel aligned and something feels off. Mm-hmm. And then we're trying to slather Band-Aids on that feeling of exhaustion or that feeling of burnout or feeling just
dissatisfied. Like in the name of self-care, you mean?
In the name of self-care, right? Okay. So like getting your nails done and getting a massage, like I'm a huge fan of all these things.
Yeah,
they're great. But the problem is that we're not addressing the underlying problem, right? Like let's say you've got like sores all over your body and you're like, I have the solution, right? Like put a bunch of Band-Aids on it. It's like, no, there's something actually systemic and internal happening. Mm-hmm. And so self-care as an industry itself is very prescriptive. Oh, I should meditate more.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do this. I should exercise more. And so we're in the same cycle of feeling like we're not enough, we're not good enough, we're not doing enough, and that there's some magic formula that somebody else has that's right for us. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. The solution is the only way that you can care for yourself is knowing what you need. It comes back to the same thing, right? And so we have these kind of continuums of value, right? So we say, like, it is better to meditate than to not meditate. And if you don't meditate, you're not like such a good wellness person, right? It is better not to drink than to drink. It is better to exercise than to not exercise. But the truth is, we ebb and flow and our needs change over time. So actually, maybe going out with some friends and having a glass of wine is exactly what I need. Maybe, and this is true for me, if I'm somebody who is kind of an over-exerciser, not exercising for a while is the right thing for me. So rather than kind of in our minds having these measures of success when it comes to self-care, the question is, how do I feel and what do I need in this moment? And so people will often ask me, like, what's your self-care routine? My self-care routine is checking in with myself regularly and understanding what I need. And sometimes it's a massage, and sometimes it's a Netflix binge, and sometimes it's calling my friend. And sometimes it's going away for a weekend, because I'm lucky enough that I can do that, away from my kids. And sometimes it's sitting with my kids and watching a show or a movie or hanging out with them. And so there just is not a one-size-fits-all formula. But the industry does not necessarily support that. So you have to self-advocate.
It's not great for marketing to say, like, it's up to you.
It's not great for marketing. The other thing about marketing is when you're trying to figure out how to market something, you've got to identify the problem that you're solving. So if you're marketing something that's supposed to be self-care, the first thing you have to do is tell someone they have a problem.
They're not taking care of themselves.
You have a you're broken in some way. You're not doing enough. You're not taking care of yourself. There's something wrong with you. So all of these messages we're getting from the self-care industry, their first message is there's something wrong with you. We can fix it. We can help you with that. But that first message, we have to be a little bit aware and wary that just because they're telling you there's something wrong with you doesn't make it true.
Yeah. Oh, girl, that has been the bane of my existence in terms of my own business. Because it's really hard to sell. Like, it depends. The answer is it depends.
and the answer is I don't have the answers.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, I don't
That's the real answer, everyone.
I don't have your answers for you. And I never will. And if anyone is telling you they have your answers, run in the other direction. Yeah. And so I agree. It's hard for me also to sell and sort of say, like, you know, what's the problem? Well, I can maybe say, like, what is a pain point you might be having?
Right. And here are some tools that will probably work, but
maybe not. And if it doesn't work for you, that is totally okay with me.
You're still not broken. Like,
there's nothing wrong with you.
There's just another tool out there. Right.
Yep.
Okay. So let's talk about when someone is feeling like they are at the end of their rope. Again, like any person listening to this, and what are some ways that you find ease and joy? Can you give us some of those tools and strategies?
Yeah. So, I mean, my ease and joy has been hard won. My ease and joy has been over many years, identifying the things that suck me down that I don't care about. I often will have people saying, I really, really, like maybe for the new year, what I really want to do is spend more time on the things I care about and less time on the things I don't care about. And then they're like, I don't get it. I'm still doing the same things. It's like, because you actually have to take the time to discover and realize what you care about and what lights you up. And sometimes people think, well, if I'm spending all this time chasing my joy, that means I'm kind of like lazy and unproductive and selfish. But to me, joy is not a reward for having done the hard work. Joy is a guidepost. Joy is a way for you to sort of, but it's also a way for you to figure out, like, what's my gift to the world? What's my thing that I have to give to the world? And it doesn't have to relate immediately to the joy. Like, the joy is wonderful in and of itself. And so what I've discovered is that by becoming more attuned to who I am, what I need, what I like, I have more energy than I've ever had. Because I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I am living the life I've chosen. And if something feels off, I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And so this constant friction between the life you think you're supposed to have and the life that feels aligned creates a real disconnect inside. And it's a lot of effort. It is a lot of effort to take a boat that wants to swim downstream and have it go to the right or to the left or upstream. Mm-hmm. We expend so much energy pursuing that which is not meant for us. And so this process of kind of aligning more with what is meant for us creates ease, but not ease as in like I'm lounging around and doing nothing. Ease as in stuff starts to flow and feel right and feel energized. And this creative energy that I have discovered since I've done this means I get to do a lot of things that I love to do and a bunch of things I don't feel like doing, right? Like, because we all have those. But I have enough stuff that lights me up that I don't always feel exhausted and depleted. Now, sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. Because life ebbs and
flows.
I'm human and life ebbs and flows. And so this is not a formula for, you know, people think, oh, I'm going to do all this inner work and then life's going to be easy. I'm going to be all like zen and chilled out. Like, no, absolutely not. You know, I got my dark moments. I got my ecstasy moments and I've got all the in between. And I've got my days where I'm just like, I'm a slug. I can't get out of bed. What's happening? But in general, I feel like I'm giving myself a shot at living the life that's meant for me. Here's my goal. My goal is to be very old, surrounded by my grandchildren at the end of my life, and to look back and say, I didn't miss it. I didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
I didn't miss my whole life. I didn't pursue all of these things that weren't important to me. And like, what was I doing? And I think that to get to that place, I have to start now.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Something that you said kind of jumped out at me, and I'm curious if you could expand on it a little bit. You said something around, you know, finding out the things that are right for me, or like the way of life that is right for me. And I know we've sort of been talking about this whole time, but is there anything, can you expand on that a little bit and be a little bit more specific? Like how does someone, where does someone even start with that?
Yeah. So again, it comes back to the same practice of like, I will get an email and I'll have a pit in my stomach and I'll have to trace back where that pit came from. Like I'll have a physical reaction in my body. I think the body is an incredible way to get that information. And I think there's a lot of people who work with somatics where people have been taught to disconnect from their bodies, to not understand the signals your body is giving you. So that's one. It's not the work that I do. So I can't speak to the actual work, but I know that body of work is really, really important. And so I'll have this pit in my stomach and I'll look back and I'll look and I'll kind of trace back. Oh, I think it's about this email. And I'll look at the email and I'll say, there's something about this that just doesn't feel right. It might be about a partnership or something I'm working on with someone. And I'll say, this is not right for me. There's something about this person's energy or about this. Or oh, I'll realize like I've been pursuing this goal, but my goals have shifted. Mm-hmm. And so it's in the micro moments of cultivating a practice of noticing.
Yeah.
Of noticing that feels right and that feels wrong. This feels good. This feels bad. And that's where joy comes in. Because that is a felt sense of yes. That is a felt sense of this is how I want to feel. Now, it's not realistic that I will feel this all the time. I don't expect that out of life. But this is actually not something that I only get in tiny doses when I'm deserving. This is a feeling I can pursue all the time. And it's information.
Yeah.
It's direction. So it's little things. Literally, if you just every day in the morning ask yourself, how do I feel right now? Just that simple question. You say every morning, I'm just going to check in and say, how do I feel right now? Maybe the answer is I'm feeling tired. Maybe the answer is I'm feeling nervous or stressed or anxious or excited. My body hurts. You know, whatever it is, that small practice of awareness, of noticing, of saying, you know, I'm actually just going to relate to myself for a second and ask myself this. Then those inner voices, the inner voice of your body is going to start telling you really interesting things. if you start listening and if you say, I hear you. Oh, and then if you say, wow, I'm really tired today and I've got a jacked up schedule and maybe I'm going to cancel a couple of things that feel okay to cancel. Then if you start listening to your body's going to be like, yes, she's listening. I'm going to speak up and tell her what I need, tell her what I want, tell her what feels good, tell her what feels right. And then over time, you start to tune into this very, very wise inner voice that is always on your side, that is going to help you decide, am I taking the left path or am I taking the right path? And it's not like it's a prescriptive thing, you know, like your inner voice does not speak to you in complete sentences. It doesn't say like, here's what you're going to do tomorrow.
Here are the bullet points.
It's like, you do not ask your inner voice, what should I do in this decision? And they say, this is the answer, right? Like, that's not how it works. But this sort of connection to that deep self, that inner wisdom, that deep self that already knows, you know, when you make a decision and you've been debating it and you've written out the pros and cons and you finally make the decision and
asking all your friends,
like, what should I do? What should I do? You torture yourself and then you make the decision and then you think to yourself, for how long have I known?
Yeah.
That this is actually what I had to do. Maybe I had to convince myself and make sure and feel comfortable and manage the people around that decision. But for how long have I actually known? So that sort of cultivation, it's a practice and a cultivation. It's not a magic bullet. It's not an all at once, but it's a simple practice of just listening and becoming a little bit more aware of, how do I feel right now? And for some people, it might be a journaling practice, right? It might be every morning I kind of check in with how I feel and what's up with me and what's coming up for me. It's not particularly for me, but everybody has their way, their tools, their methods. But it's just checking in. Mm-hmm. It's just checking in. And if you're like, I don't know where to start, I think just that simple practice of like, how do I feel right now in this moment, every morning, every evening, it is a great place to start.
We're going to take a quick break. I love this conversation. When we get back, I want to talk to you. I want to just anecdotally again tell you something that I do that I think the audience might resonate with. Be right back.
There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Lynn, this time of year, parenting can be such a flusterclux.
You've come to the right place. I'm Lynn Lyons, and I've been treating anxious families for over 30 years.
I'm Lynn's sister-in-law and co-host Robin Hudson.
Join us for Flusterclux, a podcast for parents who worry.
Wait, that's everybody.
Yeah, these last few years have felt like one long anxiety attack for so many.
Why do you think parents are always surprised that a podcast about anxiety relates to them, even if no one in their house has an anxiety disorder?
Well, worry is human. Everyone does it. And anxiety shows up when we face uncertainty.
All the parenting tips you've taught me have been essential.
I love to break it down into skills we need to manage worry in our families.
We've covered so many topics. depression, burnout, meltdowns, perfectionism.
Don't forget scary mothers-in-law.
Right, but of course that's not my mother-in-law.
Because that's my mother.
And a listener.
As a psychotherapist, I like to teach parents and kids how to respond to everyday moments in healthy ways.
Managing anxiety really can be taught.
It really can. And I'll even tell you what to say.
We talk about serious stuff, but without being too serious.
Anxiety wants everything serious. Anxiety doesn't stand a chance when we're laughing, even about the tough stuff.
Okay, we're back. And I love this conversation about just like paying attention and noticing. And I've started to do this. I don't know if it was really an intentional thing that I started to do, or just like reaching middle age and starting to slow down. And I've been exercising for as long as I can remember. I was really lucky. I grew up in an active household, and I, for the majority of my life, done a lot of like high intensity, I mean, everything from way back when doing Reebok Step and Taibo to, you know, I have a Peloton and, you know, HIIT workouts and things like that. And now I'm about to be 49 and my body is just like, no, can we not do that anymore? Like I haven't been a runner in years, and I've just been doing a lot of hiking. And one of the things that I've been doing, and really not all that intentionally, it just sort of happened naturally. And so it's winter right now as we're recording this. And I have been noticing how beautiful the trees are in the winter, because the leaves are gone. And you would think like, oh, it's not as pretty, you know, in the wintertime, but you can see all of the branches, like the naked branches, and just how many there are. And a lot of times there's still nests in there from like the previous spring. And so like, it's like these beautiful naked trees that are still reaching for the sky. And like when I'm out on a hike, like I will stop and look at moss and touch it with my hands. And sometimes I'll be walking with someone and I will, they'll be like telling me a story and I'll be like, wait, we need to stop and look at these mushrooms. And it's just these small things that I'm noticing, just how incredibly beautiful Mother Nature is. Like, are you kidding? She's the most generous, creative artist ever. And I was like, oh, is this what it means? Just like slow down and notice. And that, just doing that, that act of stopping and not just noticing, but appreciating how beautiful things are around me and all of the different birds and the sounds of the birds and even dogs barking and children playing. And it's really interesting how much it has allowed me to slow down and pay more attention to my intuition. Yeah. To what my body needs and is feeling in the moment, to when I'm afraid, you know, what I want to do with it, how I want to think through that. And it's like, and then I can't help but think like, oh, is this what people are talking about when they meditate like a good amount of time, which I've never really gotten the hang of. And I've had bouts of it for sure. But now I'm starting to understand, you know, like as I'm about to kick down 50's door, I'm like, oh, this is what this is. This is slowing down and really listening to your body and your intuition. And I'm going to say one more thing about this. A few years ago, this was pre-pandemic, I was having a conversation with Lisa Fabrega, who's been on my show before. And she said, she's like, something tells me, Andrea, that there's a part of you that is afraid of your own power. Because if you stop and slow down and really listen to what you need, how you work best, where you need to set boundaries, where you need to make some big changes, that is really where your power lies. Mm-hmm. And I've never forgotten her saying that, because I think that's true. And I think that there's a lot of women where we have been told our whole lives, like, you know, don't make people uncomfortable. And with that, stepping into our full self, like our real power, will make people uncomfortable, or we make up it'll make people uncomfortable. So we don't. So I just wanted to kind of share that as a, you know, from my own journey. And I'm sure I'm not the first person that's told you that, Vanessa.
Yeah. I mean, I have a similar story where I'll be taking my kids to school and I'll look at the way that the leaves are rustling on the trees. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll get teary and I'll be like, it's so beautiful. And my kids are like, Mom, you're a weirdo. You're a total weirdo. I'm like, but just look at how beautiful, like, look at the way they're moving, you know?
Yeah.
So my kids make fun of me all the time, but I understand that sort of awe. And and I worry for our children also, we are in a distraction culture. Mm-hmm. We have forgotten how to be still. So I think any sort of a stillness practice, whether it's meditation or hiking or walking, like any sort of a mindfulness stillness practice is going to be incredibly, incredibly helpful and useful. And in that practice, you kind of create the space to be able to notice. Because if you're constantly distracting, you don't even know how to tune in. Because what happens, and you mentioned this, is when you start to notice the things that you've been distracting yourself from confront you. Mm-hmm. And this really happened in COVID, didn't it? When people were like, oh boy, I'm alone and there are no distractions. And I'm not sure, I feel crazy about being in this place. Mm-hmm. And I've had, you know, tell you a little story. I started this practice of, you know, my MO was numbing. Same. I was super, super good at it. I was a college athlete. I did a lot of sports. When I finally stopped exercising, I noticed for the first time that I was in a lot of pain every single day. I was sore every single day. And I kind of hadn't noticed because it was normal and it was just routine for me. That was my normal for my body to be inflamed and in pain every single day. And so when I started to notice, it hurt more because I wasn't numbing, right? Because it was like, well, I don't like that it hurts more. Mm-hmm. And so as I got into this practice of noticing the world around me, things would happen in my life that were emotionally painful. And I was like, put me back in the matrix.
Yeah.
I changed my mind. Give me the blue pill or the red pill or what? Get me out of here. This is too much. I am unlearning numbing. But what that means is I got to feel it all.
Yeah.
But if we can develop a tolerance for that discomfort with support, whether that support is family and friends or a therapist or a group, right? Support's super important because we don't want to shock our system so much that we like spiral where we're like, wow, this is way too much, right? We've got to titrate it depending on what's happened to us in the past and the things that we're processing. But what happens is like the world goes from black and white to technicolor. Mm-hmm. But you got to feel the bad with the good. That's the trade-off. And it's hard, but boy, is it worth it.
It's so worth it. And I appreciate that. Just that last bit as well. And it takes time. And that's definitely not linear. Like it kind of ebbs and flows and you can come in and out of that place because you get so used to numbing, whatever your numbing process is. And I hate that we have to close up, but we're at time. And so is there anything that you want to circle back to or underscore or even add on to this conversation in order for you to feel complete before we close up?
Yeah. The one thing that I would add, and I share this always with people, is that we have so much criticism and judgment of ourselves in the process. So we'll like notice something about ourselves and we'll be like, oh, I'm doing that again. Why am I doing that again? If we can create a little bit of grace where we say, every time I notice something, instead of criticizing myself for it, I am going to congratulate myself for noticing. Even if the thing I notice doesn't feel super awesome to me, even if it feels sort of like, ooh, like I notice I'm doing this again. I notice I'm in this pattern again. Because to me, 90% of change is noticing something in the first place. If you can see it and you can acknowledge it for the first time, then you can change it. If you're blind to it, you can't. And so the one thing I want to leave people with is if you can try to be as gentle with yourself as possible as you start this practice of tapping in, how do I feel? What do I need? What do I want? What am I noticing about myself? If you can replace, oh, I can't believe I did that with, I'm so proud that I noticed that. That's really going to help remove that really big, you know, challenge and blockage along the way. Like if you notice something, that's really epic and awesome. And you should pat yourself on the back for it.
Grateful for noticing, even if it's not the thing that you're noticing, you're not a grateful bits in your life. Yeah. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Thank you so much for your time today. Where can people go to learn more about you and your work?
Yeah. So nushu.com, nushu.com is where all my offerings live, my courses, retreats, events. And then my Instagram at Vanessa Cornell is where I share what I think about when I wake up in the morning and I just like throw it out there to the world, good, bad, and ugly.
Here's some morsels. I love that. Yeah, yeah, I follow you on Instagram. Your handle and all those will be in the show notes. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. You know how grateful I am for your time. And remember, it's our life's journeys to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place. Bye for now. Hey, did you know there's free secret podcast episodes waiting for you that are not part of my regular podcast feed? Yes, AndreaOwen.com/free. And you just sign up. You get a link sent to you. It's very secret. It's like a secret club. We don't have a secret handshake. Don't worry about that. But it's these motivating podcast episodes that I made for you. They're under 20 minutes each. There's 3 of them. They're for wherever you are in your life. So head on over there and grab them. They range from really supporting you and seeing you where you are and being compassionate, all the way to giving you a giant kick in your ass and telling you how amazing and gorgeous and phenomenal you are. So AndreaOwen.com/free and get your hands on that free podcast feed.
Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is? Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.